Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audible.com/filthycasuals and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Games, welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast really about video games.
I hope that was exactly the same tone and speed of that song, or else that's going to be a fucking nightmare.
Hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. Joining me as always...
It's Ben Vanel. I was twiddling the knobs there, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
It's a episode 119. And my name's Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, very good.
The world's worst running joke, other than me. Yes. When I run, I look like a joke.
And what's your name?
Adam Knox.
Hey, buddy.
worth pointing out to our listeners that during that Audible ad at the top of the episode, no... Adam did not have a gun to his head and was being forced to read it in a designated very unfair time period.
Yes.
You really raced through that.
Yeah, you raced.
People want to get to the episode.
It was like you were doing the Chickadee China bit in the Bare Naked Ladies song.
Everybody loves some speed.
I've noticed that actually about you, Knox. Whenever you read something, you read it as if it's a competition to finish it as fast as possible.
Life is a competition.
If
you die in the middle of reading something, you're going to feel like a real idiot. So you want to read it as quick as possible, get it out of the way, move on with your day.
I read it as it's as if you're embarrassed by the fact that people know that you're reading something out loud. And you just want it to be over with as quickly as possible.
I'm just reading at the speed that I... You know,
reading the speed of sound.
This is definitely not going to make me self-conscious when we do the ad in the middle of the episode.
Joining us today, we have a special guest. You may have heard her interrupting earlier. She's been on the show many times before. It's Kate Dennett.
Buongiorno, boys.
Buongiorno.
Everybody's started bullying me now that you've come here.
I'm taking your place. Yeah. I'm making this happen, and then slowly I will start wearing your pants and shirt and throwing out my beard, and I'll be here.
Good luck reading as quickly as I can.
The Usain Bolt of reading out loud.
That's me.
Just unparalleled speed.
What do you call that? He dabbed. He did the...
Yeah, he'd done a dab.
That's what...
In a real...
Thingo does. Usain Bolt. No, I guess he doesn't. He does more of a point.
Is it a dab or is it his own official thing?
Did he invent the dab? Dab kind of spin off from that kind of movie he did when he was winning all them races?
There must be old photos or something by now that people have gone and found of like...
From the 1920s?
Yeah.
People dabbing?
Well, you know how they go like, oh, look at this guy. He's a time traveler because he's wearing a slightly modern looking cardigan.
Yeah.
There'll be some guy who happens to be in a dabbing position.
Yeah, a guy who's like reaching for two things at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. But one of them is pretty close.
Yes.
One of them very high shelf.
I liked our modern space age cardigans that you just referenced. The most modern of all clothing.
That's something that has never changed in 100 years.
Well, but the guy looks like it's just because it has like a zigzag pattern on it. This is one specific photo, but because he's wearing a jacket over it as well, the zigzag looks like a brand and that looks modern.
Okay.
He looks like a time... if you Google like time traveling hipster... It'll show up. And it's a boring photo because it's just of a man in the right era. He's just in the correct year.
Well, I wish you could have described that photo at the speed that you read things out. See, that felt like it took forever.
There's no script. That was the problem.
Yeah.
Well, we could dick around for hours, but we actually have a big week of video games to talk about.
Yep.
Kate, let's quickly, what have you been playing lately?
But not as quickly as Nox would read something.
Yes.
Just in a natural time.
Don't do it at like a normal pace. Do it at apparently a snail's pace, which is how they want everything done around here.
Somewhere between James Earl Jones and Adam Nox. Speak at that speed.
I'm confused. Well, as in like the last thing that I played. So not
Sure, what was the very last thing that you played?
A little bit of Stardew Valley on the Switch.
Oh yeah?
I've come around to it. I was very anti Stardew Valley because I played it on the computer and then on the Switch, I don't know, it just took my life and I haven't touched it in 2 weeks. I'm here on a gaming podcast and I have not played computer games in about 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, but you've got I don't think you've bought a Switch since the last time you were on.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Oh, yes. Congratulations to me. Thank you very much. I have purchased a Switcho. Yeah.
Does the Switch version, because the PC version of Stardew Valley use the mouse a lot, right? Does the Switch version, how does the Switch version control?
I think it was a bit of the old, the double hand. The one hand on the keyboard, one hand on the mouse.
No, I know, but like, but with the Switch, there's no mouse, obviously. Like, how do the controls work on the Switch?
I was playing it for a bit. There's just heaps of menus, right? It's heaps of scrolling through.
But there
menus.
Are lots of buttons, so each finger can assign a.
Just so sounds like almost, you don't understand the question.
It's almost as though you have a keyboard, but the keys are already on your.
No,
fingers.
I know what a fucking Switch is. I just mean you point around with a cursor using
you
a mouse.
You move the cursor around with the joystick.
Yeah, but you don't really have to use it. You don't have to use it that often.
I also think it's like auto aim. Like it just moves between things when you're like.
Yeah, it gets the idea. It's a fairly simple game. If you're facing in that direction, you're going to want to use your pickaxe in that direction, I guess.
Yeah. But I did find the menus pretty tedious in that. Which is,
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know.
I weirdly like it. I think I like buttons. I am really one of those kids that are like, ooh. Let me press that.
You wasted your money on a Switch. You should have just bought one of those, you know, those like those laptops, but they're for kids.
Yes.
And they've just got like one thing built into them.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing better than a good button.
You and I believe you and Pete Jones, you share custody of this Switch.
You and your stupid mate.
Yeah. Now, Pete has just gone to Perth to do shows.
Yeah.
Did he take the Switch or
you know
is
what?
Switch?
I was so offended. He didn't even want to consider it. He has not touched Isle Child.
Either. Really?
Wait, whoa, wait.
Hang on. Wait. This sounds good.
Wait a second. This yes end is going badly. He's not into it.
He's not into it.
Oh, he hasn't touched it. He hasn't come near it. Except for Overcooked.
But you guys, you also got a PS4, which may also...
Which I think
that
not,
has happened.
I haven't touched. I've only used it to watch Netflix.
Right. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So
has Pete been going in?
Fussy little household. Yeah, he's been going in. Oh, he's been going in.
I think he told me he was playing NHL a lot.
Yeah. Well, he basically just played that for a few months. This is a Pete report, by the
way. This is great.
Yeah.
It's like we never have to have Pete on the show again.
What is NHL? Oh, hockey.
Right.
I thought you just said an acronym of like
National Hat
like,
League.
Like saying. Like PUBG.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody has legs. That game.
Now, that is a good game.
You got to roll everywhere.
And you're what? You're the one person in the world who does have legs.
No, because nobody has legs. Oh, but you have legs.
Until you've come along. And everyone's like, they can't believe it.
And you're getting away with every fucking crime in the world because they can't get you.
Riding away.
They've also never invented like a way to get around. They just they just have no legs and go, well.
Wherever you're born, that's where you're placed for the entirety of your existence.
If you had legs in a world with no legs, you would be at a disadvantage because the world would be set up for people without legs.
Yeah.
Well, I talked about playing the demo of Dragon Quest Builders a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right.
What I liked so much about that game. You're the one person in the known world who knows how to build things. So you literally just come and like put up a wall and people just go crazy. All the other characters in the game are like, where the fuck did you learn how to do that?
Yeah.
This is like that dumb Ricky Gervais movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I referenced that the time we talked about that game.
What the fuck? fuck was that movie?
That movie was very bad. I hated how they're like, if you couldn't lie, that doesn't mean you always say what's on your mind as well.
Yes.
That was sure, you can not lie. But that would be a world where everyone goes, I don't want to answer that question.
Yes.
Because I'm going to tell you my honest answer and you don't want to hear that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
There you go. I fucking fixed it.
There just would be no conversation.
Yeah.
Just everyone would be mute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
What a world that'd be. I'd love it. Nobody making fun of your reading speed because you're not talking.
Now, did you get, like, addicted to Stardew Valley? Like, did
you?
Yeah.
Right, oh, right. Yeah. I started playing it being like, oh, okay, look, I'll go in on this again. Mm. And then it was like, oh, I've got a big problem right now because I've not eaten. And I have to get work done. And that's why I haven't touched the Switch.
So is that your sort of thing, the real kind of, like, you know, farming materials and stats and, like,
oh, I hate stats. That. I like simple games, and because I'm a simple person, and it's also just like, hey, why don't you go check on those cows? Like,
it is,
go check on those cows.
It is a pretty calming experience, if you want it to be.
But addictive, which so in a way it's not calming because then you're like, I just need to make it to year three because I need to know what happens to Grandpa's shrine in year three. And then like just there's lots of little things like that being like, I've got to get friendship levels. Like it goes from being a happy, fine, plain, pretty plain, ordinary time to being like, I just got to make it through the winter.
I know some people get really into the fucking in that game.
Oh, see, I'm nowhere near it.
Yeah.
I am nowhere near it. And I am giving people jam and wine.
I did not think it was going to be jam.
Is that how you and Pete got together?
It's the marmalade, boy.
Out of nowhere. I found this. I made truffle oil for you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I love truffle oil and then I fuck off for 2 weeks.
those games where you can, like, it's an option where you can romance people in the game, I get very intimidated by that because it's like, if I fuck it up and I can't do it right, what am I going to learn about, you know, my skills at communicating with people?
Apparently as well, if you give anyone a present once you're married, your partner's going to get all pissed off at you.
Wow, jealous
like,
partner.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a healthy relationship. And I just upgraded my house and it automatically came with two children's beds where my dog sleeps now. And I'm like, I don't know if I was ready for this, guys.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, the minute the dog came in, I was like, okay, I'm on board with this game now.
Is the dog meant to give you anything? Because I've been patting that motherfucker every morning and giving him water.
If you really religiously like make sure you fill up his water and do stuff for him each day, religiously.
You fill up their water and say Hail Mary.
I'm from the Church of Dog Not Being Dead. I think he starts to do certain stuff if you really make the effort.
Certain stuff, you say?
Yeah. If you give peanut butter to yourself, you unlock a sweet bonus level.
Was your dog automatically called Snooch? Because I want to know if the first...
What's a Snooch?
Snooch.
Kevin Smith, Stardew Valley. Yeah. Snoochy.
Did you put your name in as Silent Bob when you started up the game? Because that might explain
I'm not understanding any of this.
I don't... I played it a fair bit. I think I played it more than you, Tommy. Like, I did
definitely
pretty addicted to it as well. I think I just called it, like, Kevin or something.
No, it just Kevin Smith. Name that it came with, the first automatic name.
I don't remember.
Curious about the programming
just, like,
thing.
Hit the button to randomize, like, to generate
a name. But, like, the first thing it was showing, I should just Googled this and not spend wasting people's time.
I probably
right
called
now.
Mine Egg.
Right.
Anytime I get an option for a little friend, I always call it Egg.
Well, so not to get ahead of ourselves, but you guys named any cats in the last week? Given some cats
I
names?
Certainly have. Should we jump to this discussion?
Well, I mean, absolutely. We were under strict instruction to not get ahead of ourselves.
I thought it was a great segue, but apparently not.
So Monster Hunter World came out on Friday. Kate, you have not played this.
I have YouTube because I realized that coming to this podcast, I'm like, I do not have time to play anything. So I'm representing the person at home who doesn't own anything, but they have YouTube. So they spend a lot of time YouTubing stuff.
Yeah. I think that's like 85% of our listeners as well. So
you
will be
you.
A good touch.
I'm one of the people.
Yeah. You're the, what's that fucking rock where you learn languages?
Rosetta Stone.
Yeah.
Is that the right?
Much better name.
Yes.
Much better name for anything.
Well, that's what they called it before they knew what it was called.
Yeah.
But they had to read it before they could do it.
Boy, that must have been some meeting to to battle them out of calling it that fucking rock and instead have Rosetta Stone. Like, oh, yes. Wow, how they got that over the line. But yes, I think I've played about 5 hours at this point.
Oh, really?
I imagine you two have probably played more.
I think I'm about 5.
I'm like 2. I have barely had much time.
Right.
Yeah. But I have played some of 4. Which was the previous, so, but...
Right.
Yeah, it's...
And that was 3DS only, was that?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm. And it's so, like, I haven't even gotten past tutorial stuff. I just haven't had time.
Yeah, yeah, so this series, famously very deep and very difficult for the newcomer to get into. This one, in advance of it coming out, was being talked about as perhaps the most accessible that it's ever been.
Yes.
But I think still extremely inaccessible.
Yeah, oh. Yeah.
How's that possible?
Well, I mean, yeah, so it's weird. So I'll say from the outset, I really like it.
Mm.
I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Me too.
I really thought I would put 30 minutes in for the sake of doing this and just come up against too much of a wall and not be able to really have any fun with it. I'm finding it more accessible than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. These two...
Kate started making faces at me. And I didn't know what fucking face to do to tell her shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
with your face. Face is saying that.
Yeah, good.
I said one sentence. I said one sentence and then you disengaged as if I'd ignored you for like an hour or something.
No, I'm sorry, I just want to be fun to see what Adam does when he's meant to be talking, but he's not talking and he's distracted. I'm really...
Well, I get a bit annoyed is what happens.
I thought so. Myth is busted.
This was a bad idea getting her on when we already have so many games to talk about. Like, okay, this is already going to be a long one.
No, shut up.
This is what it needs.
Yes.
But yeah, like it's weird because it's set in a you've gone to a new world.
Yes.
And you're in a camp and the game is you go out on these expeditions, you're given a monster that you have to find, you kill it, you go back to base. You use the stuff that you've found or foraged from its corpse to make new, bigger weapons and armor that allow you to hunt bigger beasts.
These monsters as well, just animals.
Hmm?
They're just animals.
I mean, they're
controversial.
They're fictional creatures.
Yeah, but they're not like what you like Frankensteins or.
Did you think they were going to be
Frankensteins? No, but they're not. They're very much wildlife.
Dracula.
You're going out and fighting tigers and
Where's
things.
Where's Mike Kazowski?
Would you call a tiger a monster?
No, you're right. You're out there fighting the contextual local, to our world. Yes, they are monsters.
Yeah.
But in this world, you turn up and you're just observing the natural wildlife.
Yeah.
And going, look at that fucking monster.
I'm going to kill it.
Charlize Theron is just stalking in the bushes.
No, I guess that's fair. It could just be called Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not. It's called Monster Hunter.
Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I'd love it if the final boss was, you know, the designs get more and more elaborate and then the final boss is just Bigfoot. You know, just some real beige thing from our universe.
Yeah.
No design or care put in, just a really boring bit of mythology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, how are you finding it, Adam?
Just impossible to get into if you have anything else on the back of your mind.
Right.
That's been the problem for me is like it wants so much from you, so much of your attention.
Mm.
Like it's really demanding in it front loads it with a lot of just text boxes that show up going like, here's this new mechanic, here's this new one, here's this new
one.
Yeah.
But it's weird because it overloads you with some stuff and then it doesn't really tell you about other stuff.
Yes.
So the weapons and the combat is like it does drop you in pretty nicely. Like I liked the way it kind of progressed at the very start where you get thrown in, you know, you get a bit of info, then you set up in your little village and you kind of learn how it's all working. But at no point does it sort of go, by the way, there's 15 types of weapons. They're all different. Here's kind of the gist of how they all function differently from each other. You kind of really are left alone to – really the only way to work that out is to go and equip them and then go into the training area and fuck around in there for a bit.
Yeah.
But it doesn't ever really tell you like – here's how this stuff kind of works.
No, it definitely doesn't like lay everything out for you, but it expects you to dig
a
little bit and get that stuff, which is just I want to get into it more.
Yeah.
But it's just been really...
But
I'm you need to have a few hours set aside to
totally,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Get
it's weird though because yeah. it is deep, like it is the numbers and the stats of it. The depth is in the actual stats of the stuff that you're upgrading
yeah.
and building with the materials. But like it feels like it doesn't really need to be that deep because it is still pretty arcadey. Like in terms of you just go out and you fuck around with this beast that might take you 45 minutes to kill. And the way that the weapons are all different from each other is that they all have kind of different combos and different button configurations
yeah.
and for different attacks.
Different strengths against different kinds of monsters and stuff.
Yeah. yeah. And it's kind of almost like Street Fighter in the sense that you yeah. commit to one and you just have to you go, okay, these are the combos, these yeah. are all the different button configurations them, to yeah. how to do all this.
Each of them works pretty differently to each other as well.
Yeah. yeah, and that impacts the way you move around a monster and stuff yeah. like that as well. Yeah.
But then they are all pretty simple.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of the more of it is in the sort of it's like Diablo or something a little bit where it's more about what you get after you've killed this thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes. Well, I've been playing it yeah, maybe about the same as you, Tommy. I've probably beaten about 5 monsters in
okay.
total.
Okay. I've beaten like 3, I think.
Okay. Right. I really like it. I yeah. really, really like it.
It and did strike me as something that is absolutely top to bottom your shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It has, on the surface, what seems like a, yeah, like a simple series of gameplay mechanics. The combat's very simple. Mm. When we talk about combos and moves and stuff, it's like triangles one kind of hit, circles another kind of hit. You combine them and that's the third one and then maybe there's a special move. That's all of it.
So there's some stuff you can do like there's combos and whatever.
Yeah, yeah, right.
In the middle of that too.
And then moving and dodging and that's just kind of how what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you pick a thing and you take to it, then you get really good at it, you specialize and you, yeah, become better at that kind of weapon than you ever could at any of the others just because of the way you tend to play games. So it is. It's very specialized, but the way it's specialized is personal.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just really like it. I think it's great. It is all about, like, resource collection and crafting and stuff as well as combat. The story is, like, just so superficial and I like that about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, the setup of it, you could talk about story in two different ways. Like, there's this setup of the whole world is so believable in terms of like progressing through the actual quests. There's not really a story in terms of that. Like, you kind of think when it starts, oh, I'll go off and do this. This will happen. Then I'll go back. And in terms of like progressing through the main quests of the game,
yeah,
there's no story. There's no driving. There's
no narrative
behind that.
There's no narrative drive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, yeah, you meet a couple of characters at the start and you're like, oh, who are these? I don't think you ever see them. Like, you don't see them again in a meaningful way. They're just there, like non-player characters.
Yeah.
Like, what was that woman's name in the first series of The West Wing? You ever watch The West Wing?
No.
She just left.
You're on your
point.
Own here, buddy.
She just disappeared. All my West Wing fans out there, make some noise. Hello.
They have to do it while they're walking along a corridor. I've seen trailers for it.
I've been able to have a good time so far without feeling like I have to go too much into like all the menus and all the depth to it. But I am starting to get aware like, oh, if I kind of Google and look up exactly what I'm doing here, it will make it a lot more fun.
Right.
Which I think you can kind of get in and dick around with it pretty easily without really knowing what you're doing. But if you will have a better time if you seek that stuff out, which I think is kind of a cool thing.
The way that I've kind of found it so far is the first monster, I was like, all right, I guess I go out there and I pick a weapon and I just go and smash this monster up. Yep. And it kind of worked. Like, I didn't really have to have a strategy or look anything up. I just went out there and fought it like I would in a normal combat, you know, like RPG game. And then as it got harder, I needed to look more into, okay, what about like elemental attacks or blunt versus sharp and what kind of monster is this and what would make sense to beat it? And so, yeah, I think you just look into it more as you need to as the difficulty rises.
The second or third one that I did took me fucking forever. Like, it kept running away from me and it took me like over half an hour to do to the point where I went, I'm doing this. I must be doing this wrong. Like, this is like so early on in the game. This shouldn't be taking me this long.
Yep.
How am I fucking this up? And then I looked into it and it's like, no, sometimes it's just That's just what it is. You just, this thing kind of runs away from you and then you have to chase it down and do all the same shit over again.
Yeah.
But then I learned that I wasn't, you have to like in the middle of a fight, you'll have to get out your whetstone and like sharpen your blade again because it gets dulled and then it's like it doesn't do any damage basically by the time it's worn down.
Can you just like put a rope near a cliff and then just get it to run and it kills itself?
Oh, Roadrunner style.
Yeah.
Holds up a big sign that says yikes on it. Yeah.
Free bird food. Yeah.
You can do traps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to trap that bad boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to trap that bad boy.
Yeah, which it encourages you to do a couple of monsters from the early ones.
Right.
Time.
I'm in the desert with the search with the scientist dudes. Escorting through the desert.
Yeah, right. I'm a bit past that.
Right.
Maybe it's one of the side quests you do get taught how to trap and then stun creatures to take them back instead of just kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. And that's just another layer of complexity that isn't like 100% necessary, but it's really beneficial if you do decide to learn how to do it.
I think there are some quests later on where you have to capture them.
Right.
As well.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I think for me, its strongest feature is that the design of the world, the look of it is just beautiful. It really is. It's so immersive and it's such a believable. Like not to just lift something from another review, but I watched an IGN review of it where the guy was saying that it feels like this world and its ecosystem just exists without you being in it. Like it's just there living and breathing whether you're walking around in it or not, which...
Yeah, it looked amazing.
It looks really good and you can like there's a clear kind of like hierarchy of the monsters as well. Like there's a clear like a... some of them are predators and like you can kind of hang out and hide and they'll encounter each other and sometimes they'll fight.
It's called a turf war.
Yeah.
And it can be really cool when you're hunting a monster that is, maybe a bit beyond your current level and you've like, you've had a couple of rounds with it and it's run away and it's still going and then you're about to go again when a giant one comes in and starts fucking it up and you're
That's cool.
Taking off like
now
a
now I have
of its
a
helm.
Bigger problem.
Yeah.
For me, the joy is that real action movie-ish kind of stuff of like, you're just, you're in battle with this thing and it's kind of that stuff that, like, I know this isn't what the game is, but there's kind of part of me that wishes that, like, all that depth and the menus and the stats and everything was just cut in half and it was more focused on just being a purely arcade experience of just go out and like I kind of wish it was a bit simplified because I feel like that stuff is it's just that's the sort of stuff that deep menu stuff is the kind of stuff that sort of puts me off and makes me feel like I'm gonna hit a point of this where I'm just tapped out or if I leave this alone for 2 weeks I'll come back and just have no idea what I'm meant to be doing it looks great. It's like I really like this kind of take on like this mythological kind of dragony world, but with that little bit of Japanese touch on it, like that, it's just got this weird kind of absurd, like, so you have a little cat friend.
Oh yeah, we haven't touched on that.
How much does Snagglepuss help you out? What is he?
Well, he's no help because as soon as the monster come, he's like exit stage left and just fucks off. That would be great. Someone mod it so you can just choose a fucking Hanna-Barbera character. No, I'm going for Megilla Gorilla as my little companion. So you get to design your character. You get to design your little cat and how he looks. And what does he do?
He heals you.
He doesn't really seem to do... that's right. Yeah, he heals
you. He heals you in battle,
They might fight as well,
they
surely.
They do, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It says their attack and everything goes up.
I've upgraded my cat's armor and weapons and helmet and stuff. And they do. They fight as well. They distract it, which is really helpful when you're kind of, again, these are such long battles that... You really need the moments of a break when it'll distract
you. Need to heal, you need to sharpen your sword and whatever.
All takes a long time. Yeah. And if you're standing there healing while the monster smashes you down, you'll be dead. So, it distracts the monsters as well. It's cool. It's a cool little mechanic.
What did you call your cat?
I called it Abby after a cat I used to own.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's interesting because when I watched the thing, I was like, I could make my old cat. I could go on adventures with my old cat. It's like weirdly taps into that old childhood thing of like when you're a kid and you're like, just like, the movies are going to adventure with my dog. Totally. And then you leave the house. And the dog runs away. Just like, what the fuck? It has no interest in you.
Yeah. Adam, what that cat called?
Bob Hoskins.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
I just couldn't really think of a good name.
Was that what your old cat was called from childhood?
No.
Was this why you only played 2 hours? Because you spent all weekend watching Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I had to, like, at some point decide that naming characters in video games didn't matter because I have spent so many fucking genuine hours of my life fucking stressing about what to name things, sitting there looking at that blinking cursor going like, no, that's not good enough.
Yeah, I have, my default is if it's just the main character, it's Tome. If it's any kind of little sidekick or pet, it's Egg. And then if there's a third thing, I'm like, oh, fucking hell, guys, come on, I'm exhausted.
Is that cat's Egg? Is that cat Egg?
My cat's Egg. Yeah, nice. It's Tome and Egg, just... Yeah. Roaming around. But yeah, you know, the one thing I don't particularly like presentation-wise is I think the music is pretty underwhelming. I just think it's very generic and a bit forgettable.
Trumpety sort of orchestra.
Ripped from the action movie trope kind of playbook. It's kind of, it doesn't seem particularly exciting or
That's fair.
Interesting.
I actually,
it's not bad. It's just like everything else to me is so exceptional about how it looks and feels. That, yeah, I just think it's a shame that that's not like a little more standout-ish.
Oh, yeah, I think I just turn the music down and listen to podcasts.
Great.
But what I do have an issue with is the graphic quality. So I think the design's really good and the detail of the world is good, but I think like the lighting is really flat. I don't know. I think this has happened before with me and maybe it's just my TV is shit, but yeah, I don't think it looks that great in terms of
it doesn't really pop.
Quality.
Well, I mean, it's
the brightness was automatically set too high.
I did have to turn that down.
Yeah.
But it's still, I don't know, yeah.
I guess it's just one of those things that they're now, it's like designed to be optimized for the PS Pro and the Xbox One X.
Yeah, that's,
So.
I saw a video that I don't understand, and maybe you can enlighten me, but it said that it was running off the same engine as a game from 2006 or something.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. That basically just means it's an old... So an old engine could mean, like, shittier physics, which...
No, it's the one Capcom's used for, like, heaps of stuff.
Right.
Like, Resident Evil 7 used it as well, and that game looked great.
Yeah, okay, because that's true. Like, there are engines like Frostbite that BioWare used that's pretty old but still looks good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's maybe just my taste.
I didn't really have a problem with it. Like, it's a little, like, jagged edges and stuff.
I think it looks great. The one thing I find weird, and you're never going to be able to get this perfect because it is, you know, it comes, to me, it really does look real and alive.
Yeah.
But then you do get into a lot of weird collision detection stuff where...
Yeah.
These beasts have these really amazing walking animation and then all of a sudden they're just kind of like sliding across the floor, you know what I mean? Or something bumps into it.
Tommy is on a chair with wheels and could not have acted that out
Guess
better.
What? I don't even think that about the game. I just want an excuse to slide on the chair. There are a couple, especially when beasts are fighting and when you're in the middle, everything else is going for such realism that, you know, when your head is kind of popping through a leg, it's a bit like, oh, okay.
I noticed that as well. I think what I assumed is that because the combat is really precise, it's all about exact movements and knowing exactly where to hit and certain areas of monsters take more damage or less damage. So I think it's like the combat's so finely tuned that you just have to like, it just makes them be in the right or wrong place.
Yeah.
Like within relation to the terrain.
You're exactly right. That's like a hangover from the series as a whole as well. Like there's some stuff in it, it seems like, that is weird sort of like, I don't like that I have to be in a fucking online lobby to play it and all that sort of stuff.
I haven't gone online with it at all. I got logged out of my PlayStation network and I can't remember my password, so I just haven't been logged into that for...
You're lucky because the online stuff is, and I kind of consider that separate from the game. Like it is, like it doesn't necessarily impact me playing the game and the fun of the game, but I do not like it.
Yeah,
I do not like it. It's so convoluted. I was talking today with some of our listeners on in our Patreon group about setting up, you know, like clans or groups where you can like meet up or go on missions together, and it's just really convoluted and complex and shitty. And
just all the menu, like having a, why do I have to go all the way down to the bottom of this area to talk to this person to get this one specific, like just give me a menu, I press start and I can do it.
Yeah.
It's sort of weird.
Do you want to, because some people have set up a little, they've set up a little squad, right?
Yes.
Do you want to give that out? Can we give that out?
I don't.
Should we give that out?
I think we should, or it's fine. I don't think I know how to.
Okay.
I know what the name of it is, but I don't think that helps.
Well, the intent was there.
Yeah. I found somebody's credit card the other way. the other day. Should I? What do you reckon?
Who's
read out what? Should you give it back or read out the number?
Did
what
you find it
us?
In my bedroom?
No, it's for a. Oh, your middle name is he's BJ Vanell.
Yeah.
That's funny. Like blowjob.
How long have you known Ben for? And this
long
just
enough
clicked?
To figure that out just then.
It's taken 30 years.
Did you really find a credit card?
No.
Okay.
Of course I didn't.
You're a good actor. You had me going.
Yeah.
Kate, did you buy that?
I don't know. I sort of tuned out.
Well, yeah, I think that's all we need to say on Monster Hunter World.
I think so, yeah.
It's a real big... long thing, so I think we'll probably be talking about it again in
totally.
The future.
Yeah. We've barely scratched the surface.
I really thought it was something I was going to put a couple of hours into just for the obligation of this, but I'm finding myself thinking about it a lot.
Mm.
Kate, based on what we've said,
yes.
having not played it, give it a score out of 5.
Oh, I think right now it's 3.5, but it could go up to 4 with some more time.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm happy with that.
I'd go a 4, but that's a really good assessment.
Thank you.
So something I've been sinking a lot of hours into. It's been a good week because I've had two games that I've really been thinking about a lot when I'm not playing them, and I've wanted to play them both. It's been hard to choose which one to play before talking about on the show. It was Celeste, which came out on – it's on like everything, right? It's on
– I think it's just on the Switch.
No.
What?
I'm not sure.
It's PlayStation and Xbox, Steam, and then you can just direct download it on Mac and PC.
Right.
It's on everything.
Yeah. How about that?
Mm.
How
about that?
It's really fucking good.
Yeah.
I've been playing it as well a little bit.
So we talked about it a bit, what, like 3 weeks ago? It was chucked onto the end of that Nintendo Direct Mini.
Yeah.
And I just thought it looked like, I kind of had no, it just passed me by. I had no interest in it whatsoever.
Right.
And then the day it came out, it got all of it just immediately glowing reviews. And I fucking love this game.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a lot like Super Meat Boy, if you've ever played that.
Yes.
It's... you're jumping around, sliding on walls, and you have a dash move, and it's platforming.
Yeah, really, and it's really, pixel art as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I never... That game never appealed to me, mainly because of the style of it, like visually, and I don't know. I just never thought that a thing that is really, really precise and intricate, kind of jumping and constant death, would be my thing. Mm-hmm. But this is.
Yeah. No, when it's done like this, where it's very quick to get back in... You know exactly what you did wrong every time you die as well.
Yeah.
But I would say this is, and maybe Super Meat Boy is like this as well. The thing I like about this is every area that you're in, it's not so much about like you just have to have the most nimble thumbs going around. It's more like each area is like a little puzzle where it's like this is the order that you have to hop on this wall, then do this. So it's more about looking at it and going, okay, this is how I do it, and then doing it rather than it is just going as hard as you can.
Yes.
Which,
same sort of thing.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Did you see this game?
Yeah,
demo?
Yeah. Yes? I've been doing a lot of YouTubing of this one.
Yeah.
It's my favorite YouTube of the week.
Nice.
Kate's favorite YouTube of the week. Yeah.
So is this a 5 out of 5?
Oh, this is a 5 out of 5.
Wow.
Yeah, you tried to show us a meme before that you were losing your mind at, and you turned your phone around and none of us could work out what was going on the screen. it's pixel art,
which I don't really like the look of it. That is one thing that it looks pretty bland.
But yes, the details though.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's tiny little details in that pixel art that's just like, oh, you care so much about this.
It does feel like a game made by someone who really does care about it.
Yeah. It definitely
little
isn't.
Little subtle things that make you fall in love with the thing. Mm. I think they're all over it with this.
Yeah, I love the look. I'm a bit, like we talk about it a lot, we're all a bit overdosed on pixel art, which I think is why just seeing the video of it kind of, it just kind of passed me by. But in practice, like, I think it looks great.
I do really, really like the sound. The soundtrack music is incredible. Oh, the little voices.
The musician, it's Lena Rain. And she's got all these awesome, she does a lot of music for computer games and stuff. And she's got heaps of stuff online that you can just listen to on
Well, the soundtrack of it went to like number one on Bandcamp less than a week of coming out. Which
surely number two behind our Bandcamp episode.
Well, the one from 3 months ago.
Like 2 months.
You guys should release more singles.
We're a concept album.
Yes. We need to get this podcast onto the Billboard Top 20.
Definitely. Where the money is, baby.
I want this podcast to get on Kate's YouTube of the week.
So you are a young lady who's attempting to scale Madeline. This big mountain, Madeline. But she's called that in press about the game, but you get to name your character at the start.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I just named her Madeline. Mm. Snooch.
I named her Bob Hoskins.
But yeah, you and it that first level that you go to is very it's like a forgotten city, and it kind of looks like this is going to be the design of the game for the whole thing.
Right.
But then every level is like there's a different gimmick in there. You basically just have you can cling to walls, you can dash, you can jump. Sometimes you find little gems that give you a double jump.
Yes,
but
the
theme of each level is something different, which somehow expands either the range of your dash or the number of times you can jump in all these different ways. The little story that you go through and the writing, I think, is particularly strong and interesting. There's kind of themes of depression and stuff in there, which
it's a little Firewatchy.
Yeah,
all right,
a little bit.
I've only had time to play this for about half an hour, so I'm really early on, and I don't think it's grabbed me, really.
Mm-hmm.
Not. Like, despite all of those things that you've been talking about, like, I think the mechanics of it are so good. Like, it feels really good to play. Visually, I'm kind of okay, but if it changes, then that's probably going to appeal to me.
I do love the music as well.
It's mainly like the color palette that changes, though. Really,
sure. It's not going 3D.
The areas look pretty distinct from each other.
They're all 8-bit looking platforms and stuff.
Like, sure.
It's all that stuff the whole way through, which is and it's a good version of that. I think it's just that style I'm a little done with.
I
guess that's the thing. Like, it's funny, someone was at my house the other day and came in when I was playing it, and there was someone who doesn't play games, and they're like, wow it looks all old. why have they made it look like that? And it was very bizarre to have to tell someone, well, I mean, this is popular now. This is a popular retro throwback thing. Heaps of games do it.
When they walk down Sydney Road, are they just like, whoa, that man's in a cardigan. What year is this?
I'll just out who it was. It was our friend Dilruk Jaisinghe.
Oh, right.
Completely unfamiliar with the concept of retro-themed video games. Yeah.
Yeah. The 80s is big now, man.
The artist was black and white. They must have had that movie sitting around for years. Why didn't they release it earlier?
I assume a big part of it for a smaller studio is it's a budget thing, right? It's just easier to do.
I think so.
Yeah. That's got to be a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And well, but also it is just, it's a fashion thing, and this is a throwback in some ways in terms of type of game it is.
Yeah, this very kind of difficult, intricate kind of platformer thing is very 8-bit kind of thing. But yeah, I've very nearly finished it. I'll probably end up finishing it when I get home after this. It really just hooked me right in. Like, it's so precise. It's so controlled so tightly. It, for me, everything about it. And, like, you know, it kind of deals in sort of the idea of depression and stuff, not to really spoil anything about it if people necessarily care about that. But I just think it's done with such a deft touch as compared to, Adam, you and my favorite game, Hellblade.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just is, it, you see
I'm
this
so
and it's
so fucking crazy. That was how that one did it. Just,
you know, this is just kind of
half a step away from going,
this just resonates so much more because it's just filtered in so lightly and it kind of has, to me, it had real resonance when that stuff comes up as opposed to trying to sort of
really personal
beat
and real.
You over the head with it. Yeah.
That's cool. There's a little bit, like, I've gotten confused in it sometimes as to where I am.
Right.
Okay, but what about in the game?
Yeah. Oh. Nice.
Ding, ding, ding. That's the 1 millionth vote. version of that joke on this podcast.
Congratulations. You get a huge cake. What about the prize? I couldn't think of one.
Oh, that's not quite one.
But I know, but I knew I had to say something like that. There's some variant of that that would have worked. I'm real tired today. Levels are laid out a little confusingly sometimes because everyone kind of looks the same.
Yeah, I think there are bits later on. I don't know what bit you're up to, but there are bits later on that I think that are doing that kind of quite deliberately. Yeah, you're sort of meant to get lost.
When you say levels, do you mean screens or do you mean because it's just screen by screen?
The level as a whole,
right?
It's screen by screen, but you have some
differing pathways.
Yeah,
right. Okay,
and then through it, you're mainly just trying to get through the level. There are also lots of little strawberries everywhere.
Mm. Yeah.
And they're just like a bonus thing that do nothing.
Yes. That's
which
that's
is kind of a shame.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
It tells you that really early on, yeah, which is a bit of a bummer. Like I kind of wish that, because I was sort of really going, I think it tells you at the start of the second level that they don't mean anything.
Yeah. Right.
So I was really going for them in the first level and then was kind of like, well, I don't know. I'd like there to be you get something at the, you know.
Yeah, even you unlock a new like level a or little something. Picture or something.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Because you.
Achievement.
Early yeah. on, you kind of come across them pretty naturally and then you get to a point where you enter a room and the room doesn't lead you anywhere. The only thing to do in there is to get a strawberry. And so because you know they don't do anything, it's really easy to just go, oh, well, fuck this. I'll just go back to trying
I'm
to find my way
I'm wondering if there's like an extra metaphor layer about that, being like,
Don't eat strawberries. Waste of time.
Honestly, though, strawberries do fucking suck. I don't know why everyone.
Yes, I'm totally on board.
Thank you. Yeah. No one ever talks about it because you think we're not allowed to talk about it. Because yes. Everyone's like, strawberries.
We can only have back channel
treat.
Conversations about this strawberry stuff.
Yes.
Oh, all the best foods you only ever sell if they're covered in chocolate or whipped cream.
Yeah.
People also, just like chocolate and whipped cream.
The flavor of strawberry.
Yeah.
Strawberry flavored things.
Yeah, but that means you like LN 101 or some colored number, you know what I mean?
I do love Ellen. When she dances, that's cool, man.
You know she's 60?
I like her fun interviews with her guests.
I like when she stitches her guests up.
You know what I do fucking hate about Ellen, though? When she scares people, I think that's fucked.
That's the thing where people come on her show and then she goes, check this out, and she shows a video of her, you know, turning the lights off.
And
the guests always have to be like, ha, 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 I'm getting a camera.
You got me, Ellen.
They don't know I have a pacemaker. Yeah.
What a dipshit I am for not expecting somebody to be in the toilet.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal. You're there in the green room before the show trying to chill out and then you're getting fucking slimed.
I saw one and it was Taylor Swift and she went to ground and nearly hit her head on like a towel rack.
Yeah.
And that could have been the end of her.
Mm. Then it's like, well shit, Ellen, I've been changing tops in this room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Someone in your control room's now got all this
that would be
sweet Taylor Swift topless.
Yeah. That would be great the day that Ellen goes too far where it's like, check out this prank, and then it's just footage of someone getting changed. Yeah. Like, it's just the audience going.
She is killing herself.
You idiot. You got your underpants on and everyone's seeing it.
Fuck.
Now here's this little kid who can sing a fucking popular song.
Right.
Sorry.
But yeah, it's I really, really like it. I think if you've got any interest at all in platformers, I would say. And the fact that you like, Ben, you like the feel and the mechanics of it, I would say, you know, when you have a bit more time, like it'll, as it goes on, it'll probably click a little bit more.
I think it has clicked. Like when I was playing it, I was really enjoying it. Mm. But it's definitely one of those games where I'll put it down and then I'll play a different game and I'll forget that other one ever existed. Yeah.
And that's something I'll say about the strawberries, though, is that each of them is fun to get on its own anyway because the game controls.
I thought you were literally talking about real strawberries again.
They are fun to get.
Why have you circled back to talking about...
You get to go down to Coles. Yeah, it's a very fun experience to walk through. It's a little cold in the fruit bit.
they're very rewarding and there's some that you... they have wings on them and they disappear if you dash.
Yeah.
So that adds an extra layer where you have to like work out how to get up to them without using a thing that you've relied pretty heavily on across the game.
It's one of those ones that's very good about like every idea it has, it does everything with that idea that it sort of can.
And then moves on.
Yeah.
Right.
It also does a thing. It reminds me a lot of Sonic Mania in the sense that it'll kind of really kick your ass for a bit and be pretty challenging. And then you kind of, you get through a bit and then it just kind of it just sort of not puts the brakes on, but it just lets you loose in a thing where it's just fun. Like
yes.
it'll just
yeah,
let
I
you just
notice that.
Fly around for a bit.
Yeah.
So you're and it's full of like I constantly am coming up to a bit where I'm like, this is fucked and I'm never going to be able to do oh I've done it like you just yeah. like you because yeah. you die so many times it's got that really nice thing where by the time you clear a really difficult room you've done it so many times that you're just racing through it like clockwork like yep. there's just that one last little bit that you're trying to get
yeah
so you really the sense of like accomplishment of like getting through a bit is like like that little dopamine reward of like right. oh fuck I did it is like is really strong especially the further on it gets
yeah, yeah. It definitely has the really good classic platformer thing of teaching you how to do it like as it goes. So you'll do one screen and you're like, oh, okay, I had to do that to get there. And then the next one, it's a bit harder. Then the third one probably like throws yeah. in a weird one and then you go, oh, wait, put it together and get through it. So
like it
yeah.
tells you how to jump and dash at the very, very start, mm. but then it doesn't tell you anything else. Like even the little gimmicks that are in each level,
yeah.
it won't go, here's what you do with this. They're just there and you just go up to them and dash into them or hang off them or jump on them and it's just like, oh, I'm dead now, but now I know what that does.
Yes,
there's
exactly.
never any extra controls that you need to learn though.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
which
yes.
is
yeah.
good.
Yeah. I wasn't going to get this. I had no expectation of it whatsoever. But yeah, I personally can't recommend it enough.
Mm. Do you know what? I really, really like the little character voices in it as well. The little
yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought that was really cool.
And they change a little bit depending on the character's mood and stuff.
Yeah.
It's great. Hearing a human voice is one of the most impactful and profound things that you can do. And Audible.com is a sponsor this week. Luckily, Audible.
Oh, speed it up, God!
Audible is a service that gives you books, audio books. Audible is offering our listeners—that's you, the people listening to
this—looking
yeah. at us. Yeah, you. It felt like you were trying to get a rise out of me. You're going to try to get me to react, but I knew you were talking to the
You're
listeners.
Such an idiot that you listen to this.
They're offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audible.com/filthycasuals and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs.
Hell yeah.
Nobody can do it better. download a title free and start listening. It is that easy. You can go to audible.com/filthycasuals or fucking future world that we live in, you can text Filthy Casuals to 500-500 to get started today. I'm assuming that only works in certain countries.
Mm.
Only Uganda.
Yeah, wherever 500-500 makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. 500, that's a sick phone number. Try and call them too. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. Do you guys like books?
I fucking love books.
I love books. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I've ever mentioned this on this show. I've got a degree in literature.
Do you really?
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I got a double
BJ
major.
BJ Vanell.
Yeah, I got a major in philosophy and literature.
Yeah, right.
Explains a lot, right?
Uh-huh.
So you're going to go get into publishing? What's the...
I think I'm going to become a comedian.
Oh.
What is the greatest piece of literature ever written?
I think it's Crime and Punishment.
Yeah, right.
I missed a really good opportunity to plug Chimp Cop right then.
Well, I guess we write a script for Chimp Cop. It's
yeah,
more
no,
of
that's
a,
still, yeah. in my opinion, the greatest.
You should, after Comedy Festival, you should bring out a novelization of your show.
Oh, yes, please.
We should do a play of the novelization of one of our shows.
I don't want to do that. That novelization would be terrible as well. Tim's eyebrows went up very high.
I love that. Wait. That sounds great.
Yeah, okay, maybe we should do that. But if we don't, I recommend that you read The Big Sleep, which is something that I'm reading currently during this podcast.
Yeah.
It's by, what's his name? Raymond Chandler.
Oh, yeah.
It's Philip Marlowe. It's a fucking great detective story.
I just read something that I don't know if it'll be on there. It's a book called Meet Me in the Bathroom, which is the oral history of rock music in New York from 2001. So it's all about
the Strokes
say,
yeah,
and
that's a
LCD sound system and all the stuff that I'm really into. But yeah. It's all... It's all interviews with people. Like, it's an oral history, so I don't know that it would be on there.
They have Meet Me in the Bathroom.
Do they really? Yep. Okay, well, listen to that.
They've got everything, man.
Right.
Unmatched selection.
Oh, man, that would, because they've interviewed so many musicians in that book. That would be great if the audio book is she's had to transcribe these interviews and then go back to the musician and go, hey, you know how you, like, confessed this really dodgy stuff about who you fucked and who you did heroin with? If you could just reread this out into the microphone for me. Cool.
It's narrated by Charlie Thurston and Nicole Zanzarella. I don't know if you know them, if they're musicians or some kind of
the Zanzarellas.
yeah. It's a cool service, and there's
Kate recommend a book
this week.
Yeah,
What book would you recommend, Kate?
I'm currently reading Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
Because I heard that they're going to make a movie out of that, and I wanted to get in there first.
I've never heard of it.
Hey, spoiler alert, they have made a movie.
Have they?
It's in post, baby.
Oh, it's not out now.
No, but it's in post-pro.
No, I also just want to, like, this is a book written, this is not, it sounds really bad. If you just.
Yeah. Having never heard of that book before, it sounded like you were way off the mark. I'm reading Mein Kampf. It's actually pretty.
No, it's a good old time.
Yeah, I do not recommend the audiobook version.
Well, Ronnie Chang is in the movie of it.
Yay.
And I'd never heard of the book when he started posting about it on social media. He's like, I got cast in this movie, Crazy Rich Asians. It's like, Ronnie, I think someone's playing a very racist prank on you. This sounds really uncool, dude.
I don't recommend the book Ready Player One. Speaking of things that are going to be movies soon. It's video game related. That's why I was thinking about it. I started reading it recently. I think it's a terribly written book.
I've read one page of it that somebody posted on Facebook, and it was one of the funniest things I've ever read in a very bad way.
Yes.
It's like a young adult book though, isn't it?
I don't think so. I think it's just meant to be a sci-fi book.
Yeah, I tried to read it. I got like a chapter in.
Isn't Spielberg making this movie or something?
Yes. Yes.
Guess what? Spielberg's been shit for like a decade.
I know, but still he's got people.
Nobody's tapping Spielberg and the soldier.
It's weird though because it is.
Nobody's tapping his soldier anymore.
The sort of films he's been making for the last few years, it's very outside of his current wheelhouse, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's more like AI, which was what, like 13 years ago or something?
Yeah, Polar Express. Like he was responsible for that, wasn't he? Mm.
No, wasn't that Zemeckis?
Oh.
They're mates.
You know what? Same dinner party.
Yeah.
They all could have stopped each other.
I mean, he would have asked for some advice. Should I make this movie?
Yes.
Well, if you do want to bother yourself by listening to Ready Player One, there's some key features of the Audible app that would make it better to do that awful fucking chore.
Should you guys be shitting on books on this?
I'm Ready Player One. I think Audible...
Switch back to a good one.
It's not like by advertising an audiobook company, people are assuming that we love every book ever written.
I know, but it seems like you're really going after this one book.
All right, well, I want to read the new Philip Pullman one that's like a prequel to those. I forget what the name of the trilogy is, all the Northern Lights and stuff.
Yeah. Isn't it called the Northern Lights trilogy?
No, it's called like His Dark Materials, I think. And I did remember that, but I just didn't want to say it because it sounds lame. But those were really good when I was a kid. So you can share a book from your library with anyone. If it's their first time accepting a book through this feature, they can listen for free.
Oh, that's cool.
You can share audio excerpts from your favorite listens with anybody.
Find the
funniest passage of Ready Player One and share
it. That's awesome. That's
great. You can navigate through chapters. I would have expected that.
That's standard.
If it's a feature of the analog version, let's assume it's available on the digital version.
Yes.
And you can switch back and forth between reading and listening to it. If you've got a Kindle, you can read a bit and then you can listen to the next bit.
That's great.
Wow, these guys get it.
Yeah. So it's pretty good. So audible.com/filthycasuals for a 30-day free trial.
Nice. Awesome.
You motherfuckers.
Whoa. Wow.
Just spicing it up a little bit.
Very nice.
Kate, is Celeste something that you are planning to go in on?
Oh, look, in 2 years' time, sure.
Excellent. When you're done with that farm in Stardew Valley, you'll have time to move on.
If you're happy to wait for fucking ages to get any sort of gratification, then can I suggest a little show called Dragon Ball Z?
Oh boy, do I hate Dragon Ball Z.
Here we go.
It's I don't know about you guys.
Yes.
But I really fucking hate Dragon Ball Z.
How does someone hate Dragon Ball Z? Surely you just catch a glimpse of it and then decide not to watch it.
I don't know how anyone likes it because those glimpses hurt me internally.
I need to know.
There's a few levels that just it does not compute in my brain.
Okay.
And I know this is a me specific thing because for years Dragon Ball Z has been going great. People love them Dragon Ball Z, but not me.
It's going from strength to strength.
Okay, so and I'm basing a lot of this off my childhood, but I did go back in to be like, okay, I need to bring a judge. Oh, my brain just stopped.
Is that from your childhood as well?
I think we are about to unearth some deep trauma on this podcast.
Yeah. Okay. I don't like the way their faces work. I don't like that it's just still, but then there's tiny little mouth going beep, 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 beep.
So you don't like animation?
That was my first thought.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, it's just the style of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah,
okay?
It is lower quality.
It is a frozen face. The eyes, the face, everything is dead except for this.
So it's like a ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah.
Where it's just the little mouth.
Ventriloquists blink. These guys don't blink.
Fuck, okay.
All right. She's got an answer for everything.
Yes.
That could be part of why I used to like it in that there was no facial information to have to process during the show.
I will say, did you ever see the other, just the series just Dragon Ball? Like not Dragon Ball Z.
When Goku was a kid.
Yeah, there's one set before it that's really, funny. Like it's really silly.
Is that the high school stuff?
No. He's like a little kid, and he's like lives alone.
Does he hang out with himself in the future or the past?
No, but that happens
at some point.
He has a kid in Dragon Ball Z, right?
Yeah, but then also there's a lot of time travel weird stuff.
Something I also could never, I never understood where in the timeline I was watching it.
The original one is he lives alone. This girl comes to him, and she's looking for these Dragon Balls. You get seven of them, and you get a wish.
Oh, I bet she's looking for those Dragon Balls.
And then
women are all looking for one thing, and it's fucking disgusting.
Seven orange glowing orbs that summon a dragon.
But yeah, they go on this little. The show is about them going, like, trying to find all seven of them, and it's very silly. There is kind of fighting stuff in it, but
smaller scale though.
There's this pervy old man who's their friend, and it's very weird and silly. And then Dragon Ball Z is all those characters in the future, and it. To me, I kind of agree. Like, I didn't hate it, but when I was growing up, I was like, man, this is devoid of any kind of storyline whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's people grunting for half an hour.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, it's literally just, it's so fucking frightening because it's all the lines are really thin. Like, the outlines are really thin. Mm-hmm. And they're always like.
She keeps taking these wild left turns. I'm not expecting.
So your complaint is that the animators weren't using a thicker pen? Like, that would make it a watchable show for you?
But why does that make it scary?
Those colours are going to burst out.
because they seem fragile and unnerving. And then they would do these really terrifying things. Like, they would be like, hey, we're talking like this. Hey, we're having a good time. Oh, It's like that, but longer and for about 15 fucking minutes. It was the scariest. Like, it's scary in that kind of like, you know, when you watch like a ghost movie for the very first time and you're just like, what the fuck is happening? It's like that. It's that kind of like I've never seen anything like this, and it's not friendly. It's not even approachable.
There was always
I have all these memories as well of like, there's always, he's got his son with him and they're always like, hey, we're having a good time. Yeah, we're never. And I was like, oh, I could get in on this because they're not fighting. I could, oh, okay, I can see this. But then that always, there's always some fucking lesson that needs to be learned. And so it would always be like that little kid would get the shit kicked out of him.
That is true.
Constantly. Mm. And I was like, what the adults are doing nothing.
Yeah.
He was horrible.
I got to say, coming on a video games podcast and shitting on anime, you are alienating.
I'm not shitting on
99.5% of the
I'm not shitting on anime. I'm shitting on Dragon Ball
One specific
Z.
Anime.
I'm shitting on this one.
I will shit on anime in general, but not Dragon Ball Z. Wow. I used to love that show when I was a kid.
Yeah.
For exactly the reasons you've just described.
Yeah, exactly. Me too.
Like, that show was about a pretty bad dad, But yeah. he wanted to protect his kid deep down. And
yes.
That was that show.
It was about a very simple man who just happened to be the most strong person in the universe.
Yeah, he was a huge dope.
Yeah.
And he eventually abandons his family. He does it several times because of he wants to fight.
Yeah.
But deep down, he's a good person.
Yes. And then I think the stuff with the kids was like, yeah, they got beat down, but then they were heroes.
They had to get back up.
Which appeals to young boys.
That was that show, get punched in the face and then stand back up and scream for a while.
Yes. And then your aura will expand and you'll blow up a moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good message.
Yes.
Well, like a lot of Japanese stuff and anime and stuff, the themes are like absent fathers and kids doing it for themselves.
Yeah.
Because of the big old bomb.
Yes. Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff.
Right, now I feel like a real fucking asshole guy.
Doesn't have anything to do with what you said. Doesn't have anything to do with those thin lines you're so freaked out by.
No. Yeah, I really liked it as a kid as well. And I don't mind it now. It's not like I've flipped around.
Man, so Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yes.
Came out. That's why we're talking about this, obviously.
Yeah, good point to bring up why we've started talking about this decades old cartoon in depth for about 10 minutes.
It's really made me want to go back and watch Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I don't think I would, but like, it's the sort of thing where you could have it on a TV in the distance and just go, like, I'm getting the rough.
How far away?
Yeah.
How far in the distance?
Your opera glasses.
look, Horizon.
The Horizon?
Wow.
It's going to have to be a pretty big TV for you to see any of it.
Yeah.
Because this game is really fucking fun.
I really like a lot of it. I really hate everything from booting up the game to
being in a match.
Yeah. Everything in between is really tedious and poorly laid out.
Yeah,
and
it has another bullshit forced lobby thing.
Yeah, yeah. All the online stuff, the forced online connection is there. The lobby's awful. I keep dropping out of it as well. But yeah, playing matches is really fun. It's like it's being one of these crazy flying kids, like shooting, you know, bombs around and zapping around and punching people.
Yeah,
that it does perfectly.
It looks fucking incredible.
It looks like the cartoon, but better.
Yeah, sorry. I cut you off to say the same thing. It's meant to look like the cartoon.
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 Which I hate.
Yeah. I think the lines are actually a bit thicker in this. So,
they are. Yeah. I did. Actually,
furious, this is genuinely furious.
Though, no, I can actually process that game far better than the show.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
But again, the sound effects, they use a certain sound effect that just, it cuts through my ear.
Is it when they like teleport the trip?
It's like, but the whole fucking show did this as well. They would like, it's like, there's no bass. Have some bass.
Start to think you're not interested in playing this game.
It's the sort of stuff that, you know, when you see a cat, like.
Yeah, like an ugly cat.
Like a really ugly cat.
Like a street cat who's been through some shit. Like,
you know when you drop something on the ground and you're like, oh, that was a bit loud, but the cat is next fucking door?
Oh, right.
It's like that for me.
Okay.
It's this screechy high pitch. Not really worth saying on a podcast.
I know the thing,
and then also the high, again, where's the fucking bass? It's just the guitar being like...
At the end of every episode, they had some bass. It went doom. Do-do-do-um.
Oh yes, you're right.
Like a bait, like the bass.
Yeah. So they're just saving up their bass quota
for the
dying gasps.
Yeah.
But then it did have like just some high pitched noise that went over the top of it. Though.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah.
So intense.
So I've not played this. Yes? I've heard that it is very accessible and very easy to get into, even if you are not a seasoned fighting game fan.
Totally. Definitely.
How does that work?
Was it the same in Injustice 2, I feel like, where it was the exact same controls for like everything, for combos, for throws, like it's all the same. You basically just like hit, like the same buttons for everything.
Yeah, this is even simpler than that, where like you've got, crosses always shoot fireballs.
Yes.
For whoever there's just a dedicated fucking blast fireballs of people button, which I like.
Yep.
And then each of the other ones does but you can just kind of mash it a lot and something will happen. You don't need to know. But then it's pretty simple to start figuring it out because it's more about movement than about like remembering big complicated fucking
Is it a bit
combos?
Like Smash Brothers in terms of like
this
is the same for every character. It's not about committing this to memory. It's just like have fun.
Somewhat. Each of the characters is a bit different, but it's somewhere halfway between like Street Fighter and Smash Brothers sort of.
Yeah.
And then it's a team thing. You pick three. You've got three people on each team, so you can tag them out. And so the matches are a bit longer than a normal fighting game, but in a good way.
Yeah.
And it feels just really fun to play. It's a very good fighting game. I haven't gone into the story mode yet.
Okay, so the story mode's awful.
Right.
And that's the first thing I went to. I was like, great, story mode. I'll learn how to play it as I go. It'll be an interesting story. The story is worse than the show. And the show, it was pretty shallow and silly.
Oh, that's a shame, because you'd think that'd be where it shines.
It looks like they were like, okay, we have to make a decision about what we have resources, you know, to do, and we're not going to put them into the story.
Right.
Like, it looks like that's what they've done. Even the way you go through it, it's like you play a bit, there'll be a shitty cutscene. And then you're on, like, in Star Fox, how you had, like, a big overworld map and you'd, like, go from one thing to the next. It's that, but each thing is one fight. So you're basically just going, moving to a square, having a fight, moving to a square, having to a fight, moving to another square, and there's a boss. And you just do that, and then you go back across it and back across,
right,
and back across, over and over and over again, with pretty shit story in between.
Right.
So
yeah,
that is really disappointing, but... like, having fights is fun.
Yeah, like, the actual game is really fun. So if you're going to play it multiplayer with other people is probably the main reason to get this. Or if it, like...
Yeah.
It's fun single player too.
The arcade... So I, yeah, went into the arcade mode after doing a bit of the story.
Yeah.
And is it meant to be... is there difficulty settings? Because I found it really, really easy.
So I think the way it works... I haven't done heaps of that either.
Yeah.
But I think the way it works is you pick one of the three paths and that just says is to dictate how many fights you're going to have.
Yeah.
And the better you do in the fight, it gives you the rating at the end, like S through to F.
Yeah.
If you do well, it sends you up to a harder one. And if you do poorly, it'll send you along to an easier one.
Yeah, right.
I think is the way that works. So I don't know.
Yeah.
What to draw from that, but it wasn't particularly interesting. It was okay.
Yeah.
But like that game is all the trimmings and stuff around it. Yeah. Not particularly great.
Yeah.
But the actual fighting is really, really good.
It's some of the most fun fighting I've had in a fighting game, and I've played some great fighting games in the past year or so.
Right.
Yeah.
Perhaps so, given all the rest of it not really being a very rounded package, maybe wait for a price drop.
Yes,
would be your advice.
Yeah.
Kate, out of five, what do you reckon?
I'm going to give it a two because they've made the lines thicker.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So that was nice.
One extra point for thick lines. Two Dragon Balls out of seven.
Oh,
very nice.
How about that?
Okay.
A new rating scale that I'm trying out.
Yeah.
It's going to sound fucking stupid for every other game we rate.
What? How many Dragon Balls do you give it out of seven?
I'm not going to rate it. But
like, you already have
4 out of 7, just a little over half, because yeah, it is missing some stuff that now, not missing, but it doesn't sound like it's good. But I need to play more of it.
Yeah,
again. That's the other thing is that
I suspect that the more you play of it, the less you'll like it. Because it's like, if you already think it's fun to have the actual fights, then
I've seen the best bit of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. 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 But if you, I guess if you are really into the multiplayer stuff and just getting into fights, then you should see
then play the
someone.
Game.
Yes, yes. You'll
congratulations!
Probably...
is the 1,000,000th first.
I think you'll probably like it. I just don't like playing online multiplayer.
Yeah,
and I was really looking forward to the single player, and it was really disappointing.
Yeah, that's a huge ball to drop. That's
yeah,
a bummer.
But it feels like I'm one of
Dragon
the
ball.
Very good.
Dragon Ball to drop.
One of the few people.
Can you speak up? Speak into the mic so we can hear you.
Yeah. I'm done.
It feels like I'm one of the few people who likes offline single player games these days. Everyone seems to like multiplayer.
No, I'm the same.
I think it's just me. I'm a unique.
I reckon I like it more than you. I reckon I hate multiplayer more than you. I think I'm better than you in every way.
Okay. Let's fight.
See, you can read this more quickly. Wednesday 31st January. I'm just looking at my phone and it says Wednesday the 31st of January.
One of the great tomes of modern literature.
Is that on Audible?
It goes War and Peace.
The home screen of my phone.
Yeah. Ace Ventura Pet Detective script.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Then that. something that isn't even fucking out yet.
What?
Shadow of the Colossus remake.
Oh, yeah.
Technically, that game is out since 2005, but right. Sony sent us codes for this.
Yes.
And I have played a bunch of it.
Yes.
Did you guys, did anybody ever play this back in the day? Do you know Shadow of the Colossus?
Nope, no clue.
Okay.
Did you, Tommy?
No, not back in the day, and I've not gotten around to cashing in that code yet.
Yeah.
Because I've forgotten my password for the PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
So if Sony could send me a code for that, that would be great.
Send you your code. Yeah, I haven't got around to this yet, and I didn't play it when it first came out. I played it on the PS3. I think you reminded me, Knox, it was out on that.
Yeah.
And didn't like it.
So it is the same as that. It plays exactly the same.
Right.
For better or worse, because I...
And if you're a youngster listening, or Kate...
Hi.
Or Tommy... What
you're saying we're not young?
Oh, shit.
I'm definitely saying we're not young anymore.
If you've never played this game before, it's that you play this video game, and that is all I'm going to say on the matter.
Wow. Wow, okay.
You play as a little, as a guy, you expect it's his girlfriend or something, is dead in his arms. He puts her on some slab, stone slab. Hears a voice, all right, if you want her back, kill these giants. And you go around and you kill 20-something-odd giants.
20-something-odd?
Yeah.
I got the picture it was like 5.
No, it's like it's a fair number, but okay. It's also not that many because each one's quite quick.
Right.
So you go around this world and...
You ride a horse, right?
You're on a horse called Agro. Pretty funny. That's from Australia.
Funny. Yeah. Gold.
His cartoon.
Wait, is that the name that the game's given it?
Yeah.
I am 100% in. And this is sick. Is the dead girl Ranger Stacy?
when you push the button to call your horse as well, though, he goes like, Agro! It's really weird. Like, really? He can't say Agro. Wow. They hired a voice actor who has one line.
Yeah.
And it is Agro, and he cannot say Agro. Anyway.
Final boss is Cracky the Clown. Go on.
Very good.
So you go around, and your job is just to climb up each of these monsters. They have a bunch of fur on them, and you stab them in a weak spot. The problem with the game is that the climbing is fucking awful.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it doesn't feel good to move around in that game. It looks really nice, but not amazing.
Yeah.
The remake is good, but, like, a lot of the thing with that game when it came out was that the scale was really impressive at the time, and it's lost that now because...
We've seen,
yeah.
Right.
So it still looks like artistically nice. I think the colours look a little bit worse than they did because they haven't really changed the palette of it a lot.
Which was like kind of olivey, browny, grey kind of,
And it's still mostly that, but, crisper.
Right.
It looks nice, but it controls pretty fucking terribly, and it's a little... repetitive and flat, kind of. Each of the monsters is pretty similar to each other.
Right.
There's not a huge amount of different stuff. You're finding how to jump onto them, jumping onto them, and it's still nice in the same ways that like The Last Guardian was, where it's got a okay aesthetic and story, and it's interesting to see it out.
Mm-hmm.
If it hadn't come out like 13 years ago, though, and if it come out after Last Guardian, you know, this was their next game, this would be a step down.
Yeah.
Right.
I think.
Yeah. So, but did you play it back in the day?
Yes.
And did you like it then?
Kind of.
Yeah.
But not as much as some people seem to really fucking love this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think for those sort of more aesthetically pleasing elements of it than the actual game, because it's not super fun to play. But it's nice to look at, and it's a very good remake.
Right.
In terms of like it's probably exactly what you should do with a remake.
Yeah.
Same as Crash, where they kept it exactly the same.
Yep.
Right.
The way it played, and it just looks like it came out.
Right. I think the difference between something like Crash, and there's been so many remakes and remasters recently, the difference between something like Crash and what it sounds like this is that the gameplay in Crash was still fun.
Yeah.
It's still a platformer. It's hard to kind of muck that up. And it's also hard to like really revolutionize that in the time since it came out.
Yeah.
This, it's like awkward climbing and scale, which totally doesn't hold up.
Well, and this climbing stuff has been done better since. Like Breath of the Wild came out like a year ago.
Yeah.
And
Climbing feels like it was a big one for a while where it was a really dodgy mechanic for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, this is you feel like a flea in a rug. You know what I mean? Just like if
the Chili Peppers bassist or
just like a little bug kind of stuck in a thing and like can't move properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sort of
like a beetle stumbling through something it can't quite get through. Mm. Feels real like just treacly and not great.
Yeah.
Kate, out of 5, what do you reckon?
Oh, this has got to be a 0.
Zero giants out of 5 giants.
An adaptation of a cartoon that seems to cause you physical pain is a 2. Something that you'd never heard of before now is a 0.
Here are my 2 reasons. You can't climb properly and the colour palette is olive brown and grey. Yeah. I've heard enough.
That's fair.
Totally.
That feels like a very dated, like that colour palette at the time would have been like, oh, this is interesting and all kind of
this is adult.
Dark and fucked up.
It is around the same time as like Gears of War and shit.
Right. Yeah.
That sort of era of like, shit's brown now because that is cool.
It is brown.
My shit's always been brown. If your shit ain't always been brown, you got some problems, brother.
Sometimes it is I had a weird color the other day. Do you want to hear about it?
Yeah.
It's because I drank a Blue Heaven milkshake.
What color was it?
Like green.
Oh, okay.
It's like the color palette. You mix in poo with blue and it equals green in the middle.
Maybe it was like, I don't know. It was some weird color.
Was it really red?
It really freaked me out for a minute because whatever the color was, I was like, what the fuck is this? Then I Googled it and it was like, no, this milkshake does this to you.
Are you prepared to tell the listeners where you went on your mystery holiday from last week? Or are you worried that they'll somehow use that to track you down?
Fucking guy in the cardigan will time travel back there. I felt weird about not saying. We went to Hillsborough St. Jude. It was really nice.
Yes.
I saw a fucking kangaroo.
Nice.
I saw a fucking wombo.
Lovely.
Did you see
that big tall walking thing? The one that's like.
Which.
That's tall Jim.
He's very sensitive about his.
Are they cassowaries?
They're really. They're deadly fucks.
Yeah. Massive.
I saw a Tasmanian devil. And it was asleep, just kind of legs out, blah. And I posted a photo of that on Facebook. And the caption was like, I bashed this Tassie devil and got him or something.
Clearly
he was just sleeping. It was a hot day.
Not that clearly. It was just a dog on the ground.
Well, evidently, we know you very well that it's a joke. But
a couple of people were like, did you actually kill this? So I had to be like, no, I didn't kill this animal and then post it on.
And then it's one thing to do it. It's the immediate brag about it on social media.
I bashed this animal.
A true psychopath.
Also, I did not win a fight against a Tasmanian devil.
No.
People thinking that that's potentially real and then not being a bit terrified by the fact that they know you and that you have their information. Did you really? It's like, I'd be fucking deleting you. I'd be blocking your number. Yeah. I'd be avoiding you.
Well,
at all
it was
costs.
People who were like, it was two, and it was like that. Oh, who were you? Oh, I met you at like a party 7 years ago.
Right.
Right.
And told you about another animal that I'd bash and kill away.
I was walking around. Yeah, I got this. What's the funniest? I can't think of any that's not sad.
The funniest animal.
If you killed a snake, that's
dodo.
Fine.
Yeah, the dodo's funny.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I killed a dodo.
Mm, there you go.
Yeah.
Cool. So, what do you rate Hillsville Sanctuary out of 5?
I would give it 4 lizards out of 5. They had lizards as well. No, they didn't. They didn't have lizards. They had snakes
and
shit.
But yeah, they do
have
snakes.
They had platypus.
Yeah.
Kate Hillsville Sanctuary, what do you
reckon? Oh, that's got to be a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I was going to say,
it's a solid 5. Yeah, it's a solid 5.
It was just a hot day was why that point got dropped off.
Yeah, that's fair. All right.
Well, I guess that brings us to the end of another episode of Filthy Casuals. Kate Dennett, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm so sorry. I don't play computer games.
Hey, you know what? Always happy to have you here.
Yes,
thanks for having me.
This was good. I hope this wasn't boring for you to sit and listen to.
No, I had a great time.
Descriptions of... What the hell?
Jesus fucking Christ.
That scared the absolute shit out of me.
Ben's fucking Google Home thing just started
Why
trying
do
to...
Why do you have a Google Home? I can see all of your house right now.
It hasn't been working recently. Maybe it just came back
what
online.
Oh my God.
It like streams music and stuff. It's a speaker.
Yeah, you can yell at it like, okay, Google Play, whatever.
I don't know
sorry for doing that. People complain. If you do that, it... makes people's phones do it.
Yeah. I don't know if the mics picked this up, but a female voice started talking from Ben's room, and yes. it was extremely loud.
Yes,
I don't know why you've got that thing up at that volume. That was terrifying.
I told you it hasn't been working, so I didn't know what volume it was set at.
It felt like this was like an emergency announcement in your building.
Completely.
That we were like being evacuated or something.
Yeah, the bombs have been dropped. Get out now.
Oh my God.
That was quite alarming, and I'm sorry.
Well, it's woken me up, that's for sure. Yeah. Let's do another hour.
All right.
Let's talk about Nintendogs. Kate, people can find you on Twitter.
Yeah.
Are you still at Shabamalam?
No, I haven't been for years.
Right.
It's just my name.
I probably did that last episode.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and I was like... It's just her name.
I don't know. I'm attached. Kate Dennett on Twitter. Yep. Yes, yeah. People can find you on there.
That's the best social media to find me on.
Anything to plug or just that?
Stay tuned.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
To just this episode? Yeah. Just pause it now
just
and wait for an
general,
announcement.
Just across your life, just stay tuned.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Don't
tune
out.
I'm working on a thing.
Okay.
It'll hopefully be out sooner rather than later.
Ready Player One. Film adaptation.
I am Player One in the yes. new Spielberg. I would not say no to Spielberg, though, as much as we were like Batman.
Totally.
Movie.
Absolutely
yeah.
not.
Yeah. Totally.
I'd say yes, I think.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Spielberg.
Yes, sir. Please. Yeah.
You can find the show on Patreon if you would like to support the show.
Yeah.
You can chip in and we greatly appreciate that. We have premium episodes that you can listen to. We have t-shirts with different designs on them. All of this stuff can be found at filthycasuals.com.au. All three of us are involved in shows at the Comedy Festival coming up. There's my show, Leisure Suit Tommy. There's Adam Knox's show. Let me try and remember it.
That's what it's called. Let me try and remember it.
This show is good and funny. Attendance appreciated.
You nailed it.
Did I really?
Yeah, well
Fuck
done.
Fuck yeah. And Chimp Cop, which is the sketch group that Ben and Adam are in.
Yes, The Death of Chimp Cop is our show this year. It's going to be good.
Yes. Filthycasuals.com.au for all that stuff. Thank you very much for listening. And as we say at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Honk that motherfucking subscribe button. I couldn't remember anything we talked about.
I give that 0 out of 5.
Kate, you have a crack at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Honk
no, 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 give us a sign off. Give us a sign off.
Make up a sign off, yeah.
See? It's not so easy.
I needed a bit of a warm up.
Just say the first thing that comes into your head.
Pinguino.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.